Welcome back to Techonomics. I am your host, Jason Middleton. For this week's show, we've been keeping it on a theme, citizen science. Different ways anyone with a smartphone, notebook, and or a camera can help qualified researchers increase their data sets. Now, that kind of data collection from hikers, bikers, and birders leads to more and better results for scientists as they try to help us all save the planet and its species, including us, from extinction. Now, not to torture the citizen science theme too much, we're going to look at Google for the final segment this week. First, let's look at how Google is applying its collection of the entire history of human knowledge and data with its Google Earth Outreach project. Google Earth Outreach gives nonprofits and public benefit organizations the knowledge and resources they need to visualize their cause and tell their story in Google Earth and Maps, and that goes out to hundreds of millions of people. So there's no excuse for any of us. The resources are out there. Just keyword search Google Earth Outreach. Also this week, Google launched a new slate of smartphones, and the cameras alone are worth a look if you're snapping pictures in your garden of unidentified spiders to share with your iNaturalist app. Here's a Google expert to walk us through the Mountain View Company's newest push.
Okay, Latoya Drake, Google technologist.
Google did take the big stage this week. Do you want to start with the Pixel phone?
Sure. So yesterday we announced a suite of products. And what was interesting and different about this news is that it's the first time you saw a family of hardware products coming from Google, and at the center of everything being the Google Assistant and really using our artificial intelligence abilities to make some really fascinating devices. So yes, the Pixel, this is the first time people will see a phone that's made by Google. So not just the internal bells and whistles, but the actual hardware. And then I mentioned the Google Assistant being at the center of it. This is the first time we're seeing a phone that has the Google Assistant built into it, and that again is relying on a lot of the advances that we've made in artificial intelligence. And what people will find when they give it a kick is that this is meant to really take everything that you know and love about Google and put it in your hands and make things a little bit easier for you and connect you to exactly what you need.
All right, fair enough. Now let's get into our acronyms. Let's start with VR first, then we'll get into AI. So what is Google bringing to the table when it comes to virtual reality right now?
So earlier this year, we announced a platform called Daydream, and it is a VR virtual reality platform, if you will. So yesterday, we actually announced or we revealed the player. It's called Daydream View. Again, many people probably hear VR, and for the uninitiated, you said it, it's virtual reality. Why would you use this? To get inside of an experience that you may not otherwise be in a very immersive way, very entertaining and very fun. So Daydream View will take your mobile phone and gives you a VR experience. So here's an example, and I think about how would I use this, and I think it might be helpful to others. But say you're going on vacation, leaving the country. I don't like feeling uncomfortable when I'm going somewhere new. People probably go to Google Earth or Google Maps to just click on Street View and say, how does this place look? If you've got a VR experience, you're actually able to walk those streets. It's as if you are there so that you don't have any guesswork or perhaps want to go to a concert or see what it's like to see an artist in concert. With a VR viewer, you are actually within that experience. You're there. You're enjoying it. You're front row. So again, this is meant to take you from just a flat experience and give you a really immersive, entertaining experience, no matter what it is.
So from the big stage this week in Google's presentation here in San Francisco, I was feeling like that the future is now, and nothing is more future now than artificial intelligence. So let's close out our discussion this morning with artificial intelligence and where Google sits on that spectrum.
So this is the idea of having a conversation with Google and having a conversation that really understands you. So the Google Assistant is based on AI, artificial intelligence. That's built into the phone. It's also built into Google Home, which is a device that sits within the home. And imagine yourself saying, okay, Google, play Stranger Things on Netflix. It will automatically do that and start Netflix on your TV, or play a song by this artist. It will start playing the music for you and a lot of other things that you can do with it. So when we think about AI, it is meant to get things done that you need to get done without having to use your hands and do it very, very quickly. So that's what we mean when we talk about what we've been doing with AI. And
even anecdotally speaking, I've long been a fan of Google Voice because it's just generations better than anything else I've been able to touch. And that's because Google really got out there and experimented really early with a massive audience, and it's really reaping the benefits with its AI right now. Good job this week. I hope you guys are happy down there in Mountain View.
Thank you. We are. Thanks for having me.
That was Latoya Drake. She's a Google technologist. For more on Google's Earth Outreach program, check out one of two spots. Hey, check them both out. Facebook.com/Techonomics Radio and KGORadio.com/Techonomics. For more on Google's new hardware and software, you can go ahead and peep either one of those pages. Before we get gone for this week, we have to look at the jobs report that landed on Friday, October the 7th. So why so important? Because we got 156,000 jobs. We expected 176,000 jobs. But even missing expectations, there were some bright spots in the report. To help us break down the labor market, we have a wealth manager and a chief analyst at Morgan Stanley. We'll look at jobs and wages and the Fed.
George Snocchetti, wealth advisor at Morgan Stanley in Walnut Creek, California. Employers are looking for talented and qualified people, and we saw layoffs at a near all-time low. So the job market really is in full swing. It's not spectacular, but it's what I would call solid.
George, did you see anything there with wages?
Yeah, I saw wages slightly increase, but most of the jobs were really coming from the small employers. We had about 34,000 jobs from the small employers. We had about 64,000 from the large employers. And so, you know, you want to see jobs really at the higher end where the higher pay levels are. But wages have really not increased that much. They're marginally going up, which is a good sign. But the federal government is looking for, you know, a much more higher raise in the amount of pay. And that'll go when we even hit more jobs being developed. That'll hit the concept of supply and demand.
Now, you mentioned the 200,000 number that we did have for a few months in a row there. Actually, it was almost a year, I believe. And then,
yeah, we're almost averaging about 200,000 jobs.
Okay, well, so that's great. And that's more than slow and steady wins the race. But I guess my follow-up question here has to be, if it is a race, where's the finish line? What are we looking for?
Well, that's the $64,000 question. As you know, Janet Yellen and the Feds have been looking at raising the interest rates. And they've been slow to do that. They've been on again, off again, because the economy is just kind of moderately moving along. And they're also fearful of the global economy. And, of course, we have an election coming up. So we really haven't seen them move. If we had a big shoot up in jobs, if we were at 200,000 jobs last month, and if we have 200,000 jobs projected next month, and if we saw wages creep up a little bit more, that would give them more influence to go forward and raise the discount rate, you know, this month.
So, George, we're coming off of the all-encompassing federal jobs report that we just discussed. It is still the first week of October. What's the rest of October kind of teed up like?
Well, I don't want you to be afraid of October. This is Halloween coming up, and this is a time when many investors and analysts are worried about stock market ghosts, and there's really good reason for that. We've had some declines in the market in October that are significant. The Great Depression of 1929, when the stock market crashed, everybody remembers that. And then we had one as recent as October 19th, 1987, and that's when the Dow crashed about 23%.
Right.
And then you can't forget about other October massacres such as 1978, 79, 89, 97, and 2008. That was all October.
Okay, you're going to get to the non-scary part now because you just scared me.
Exactly. Okay, so it's really a fable because if you look at the S&P 500 performance over the past 20 years, October has only been a negative month only seven times during that period. There are other months that have been more negative. So we really shouldn't be fearful about October. We really should, you know, stay awake because October could really bring the last opportunity to buy on a pullback before a strong finish to the end of the year that we really do expect.
Yes. Okay. You're mirroring a little bit of the Oracle of Omaha's idea of buying the fear. So we'll have to keep an eye out.
There's an opportunity now, we believe, and we're going to see the results of that, I think, towards the end of the year and beginning of next year.
All right, George. George Snocchetti, looking at October for us, telling us not to be scared as we move into Halloween. George, thank you again so much for your time this morning and your expertise.
Okay, Jason, thank you.
That was George Snocchetti. He is a wealth manager and economic analyst at Morgan Stanley in Walnut Creek, California. Well, that's it for this week's special edition of Techonomics. Special because we're trying to do our part to help save the planet. Either one selfie at a time or one edible six-pack ring at a time. for this show's four segments of Techonomics or for any of our shows. They are live and archived at kgoradio.com/Techonomics. And we post links to all the music we use during the show as well. This week I went a little trip-hop happy, mostly because I thought it'd sound good as you hiked through your local nature and snapped some citizen science pictures. That playlist, by the way, is at facebook.com/Techonomics Radio as well. For executive producer Mike Anthony and producer Liana Wilcox, and on behalf of all of our guests this week, thanks for listening. You can give me a follow at KGO Jason. I'm Jason Middleton. This is Techonomics. Have great weeks, everybody.